for the last two Sunday evenings, we have examined some of the symbols that God uses in the Bible to describe his people, Christians. Christians are pictured as farmers, soldiers, salt, sheep, athletes, branches, candlesticks, and even a bride. There are some other symbols on Sunday nights that I'm not going to be discussing as far as how God describes his people, but I do want to mention this morning one more symbol that we could use. In the New Testament, God's people are pictured as builders, people who are involved with construction. This is important because in our day and time, we find that human beings create mighty building projects. Building projects that create great attention and amazement. When we think about this description, it is an apt description for God's people because Christians are involved with the greatest building project of all time. This building project is so important that the New Testament actually describes it by multiple words. This morning, the plan is to take one of these words, and it's a word that's related to our theme about the church, and to study it. As we think about this particular word, you have several examples of where it is found in the New Testament on the sheet. As we think about this word, it's important and maybe essential to know that this special word is used in two different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes this word is used in a literal sense. It actually describes literal construction. And we will start our lesson with the literal use. Then this word is also used in a figurative sense, and this is the sense that has the most application to Christians rather than build. It has, in the figurative or symbolic sense, the meaning of build up, edify, would be sometimes how it's translated. And this is where we'll spend a good bit of our time. Before we look at this word figuratively, we want to see how it is used literally. We start with Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 26. Most, I think, are familiar with this passage. Maybe you've already turned there. This is, of course, towards the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's also a place where Jesus talked about two men, both of whom were builders. The Lord said there was one man, as he engaged in his building project, he built a house. The Lord said he built it on a shaky foundation. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 26. Verse 24 says, I was looking in Matthew 8, that didn't help me. Everyone, therefore, who heareth these words of mine and doeth them. Jesus said, he shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Then in verse 26, we have this word again. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The word built is used in both places. It's the word that we want to study this morning. And here it is not difficult to understand. Jesus said two foundations. Both men were builders. One man made a good choice. The other man made a poor choice. The third time this word is used in the New Testament is also a passage which should be familiar to us. The third time is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This is the place where Jesus said, I am going to build, same church, my church. Well, this is an interesting use of the word when we think about Matthew chapter 7. We know, of course, that the Lord built his church. But when we think about the word's use in Matthew 16, 18, and his use of the word in Matthew 7, this allows us to ask a question. Was the Lord, as he built his church, like the wise man in Matthew 7? Or when the Lord built his church, was he like the foolish builder in the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus was a wise builder. He, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says he built the church in himself because he is the sole foundation on which it needs to stand. And tonight we're going to look at some information about who Jesus is. As we move a little deeper into our study of this particular word after Matthew 7 and Matthew 16, 18, we find in the New Testament several places where it is used to describe literal buildings or structures. For example, in Matthew 21, verse 33, this word is used to describe the building of a tower. In Matthew 23, verse 29, it is used to describe the building of tombs. Luke, in Luke 24, verse 29, used this word to describe the building of a city. Luke also, in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, used this word to describe the building of a synagogue. Then, in Luke 12, verse 18, he used this same word to describe the building of barns. Now, all of these passages show us that people have been building things for a long, long time. Synagogues, cities, barns, just about whatever we can think of, people have been in the construction business for many years. For more than 2,000 years, people have been building things. As we look at this word, though, we find that builders have been part of society for well more than 2,000 years. In Luke 17:28, this word is used to describe building things in the time of Lot. Now, that takes us back to a time that's fairly early in the history of the world. So this world tells us that as far as people constructing things, our world over the centuries has literally been filled with builders. Many of these projects have not been small, quick, or cheap. In John chapter 2, verse 20, the last time that I'm going to cite an example of this word being used literally, There the text says, John tells us that the temple had been under construction for 46 years. Imagine a building project which encompasses almost 50 years. Well, that would have taken the better part of most of the adult life of people in the first century, and sometimes even in our century. It's not difficult to see how this word is used literally in God's word to describe all kinds of building projects. So now let's turn to the second way this word is used in the New Testament. And this, of course, is the figurative or the symbolic use of this word. And here's how we begin to relate this word to the lives of God's people. You may have on the sheet Romans 15:20 and a little note about the fact that that verse is going to be read, and that's correct. We could also read Romans 15:21, but I'm not going to pay attention to that passage, even though it also develops a thought. Paul was the author of this passage. Most know that Paul was a great missionary. And in Romans 15, verse 20, we have some information about his missionary strategy. He says, "Yea, making it my aim so to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation." Now, Paul was a church planner. He was someone who liked to go into an area that did not have a congregation, and he wanted to start a new church. He said there are some others, they would prefer to go to a place that already has an existing congregation, and they'd prefer to work with that existing group. But Paul said, my goal, my intention, my hope is to go to a place where people have not heard about Jesus Christ and to start a new group there. And as I mentioned, this point is also developed in Romans 15, verse 21. Now, as Paul makes this point, we find here a significant truth for us. Paul said it was proper. It was right to build upon that existing congregation, that foundation, that the establishment of another congregation. Paul said it's okay to go in and work with that particular group. Now, this tells us that as we think about this word for build, it's God's plan. It's God's desire. It's God's intent. It's God's intention for a congregation to grow. Well, how's that going to work? The first part of Romans 15, verse 20 uses the word preach. Paul said that congregation in a local place, it needs to expand. And God's word is going to be the tool that helps it expand. God wants his church to be built in the sense of membership. Church growth, we might say, is something that interests God. Now, as we think about building in the secular realm, we know how it starts. A project begins with the foundation, and little by little, walls are added, and the interior is added, and the roof is finally put on, and so forth, and workmen use a variety of tools. In the spiritual realm, if that building is going to occur, there also must be some spiritual tools, the primary one being God's word. When we think about building in the sense of God's kingdom, sometimes people, they say, well, you know, we've tried that in the past, and our efforts were not all that successful. We need to remember as we think about building when it comes to the church that we're going to face some setbacks. We find that those involved in physical construction sometimes have some setbacks. Things do not always go as builders intend, and that's also true for the church. But when a builder has some difficulties on the construction project, on the construction job, he doesn't say, well, today was a bad day, we're going to quit. Or this project is more difficult, it's going to require more time, energy, and thought than previously planned, so we're just going to walk away from the project. No, there's some setbacks, there's some issues, so we're going to work through those setbacks. We're going to work through the issues. We're going to figure out a workaround to deal with this particular problem. This needs to be true for us. A few days ago, contact came through from our Lord Let Me Grow work. And this contact caught my attention because it is a person from Fort Wayne who wants to study the Bible. Now, it so happens that the address is one that I'm familiar with, at least the street. When we went down to Fort Wayne about 6 months ago and knocked on doors, we were in this neighborhood. There's every reason to believe that we knocked on this particular person's door 6 months ago, and there was no response from this individual. So unless that house was somehow overlooked, or maybe within the last 6 months, the house was sold and maybe somebody else has moved into the place. It's a new household. There is a chance of that, but it's also very possible that this household was contacted 6 months ago and they didn't reply. But now, 6 months later, if the same people are in that particular household, now some circumstance must have changed because they have asked for the Bible study. Now, as we think about that, we can relate it to the point about building. We may not have success right now in some area. But after some time passes, after some circumstances change, we might then be able to go in and build. Things change with time. Circumstances change, people change, lives change. So we need to be actively involved in trying to build up Christ Church in the sense of members while we have opportunities. Because sometimes those opportunities come and go. There's always going to be opportunities. There's always going to be ways to further influence people for God's church. When we think about becoming a Christian, there is a sense in each one of us that each one of us is a spiritual builder for Christ's church. And sometimes a person might say, well, I just don't feel qualified. Or that work is work that I find very difficult. If we look at the Bible, God says that each one of us can have a part in building up the spiritual body, the church. Some of us have seen, maybe we've been involved with shingling a house. Not the funnest job in the world, but when that project is undertaken, there are some who are on the roof and they do some very labor-intensive jobs. Others, as we look at roofing, do some less intensive jobs. We find sometimes there's some people on the ground and they may be picking up discarded shingles. They may be going after some of the nails that are torn off, maybe picking up some of the tar paper. We find some other people, they provide food, perhaps hydration. God intends for his church to be built up, Romans 15:20. Paul says that foundation that's been created in a local place, that congregation, it needs to be expanded. The borders need to grow. And God says to his people, you're on the construction team. And one day God's going to evaluate whether or not we had a part on his building team. So when we think about this particular word, we have a responsibility in this area. But as we look at this word from another perspective, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, the next chapter that we want to look at, also written by Paul, we find an additional point about this word that's different or distinct from Romans 15, verse 20. In Romans 15, 20, this word emphasizes things like growth, outreach, evangelism. In 1 Corinthians 4, the church is still under consideration. But now as Paul talks about this building, if you will, he looks at it from a vastly different perspective. Let's read the fourth verse from 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Sometimes it is good, it's helpful, as we're studying the Bible, to study things in reverse. If we just start at the end of something and work backwards, sometimes a Bible text is a lot easier to grasp. And here is an example of that. Let's look at this text in reverse. At the end of this passage, Paul talks about edifying the church. This word that is translated edifying is the same word that's used in Matthew 7, 24 and 26, Matthew 16, 18, and Romans chapter 15, verse 20. God says the church is to be a place where people are edified. Or we might say the church is to be an organization, a place where people are built up. A few weeks ago we learned that God did not intend the church to be a place of entertainment. He did not create the church so people could have a fun house. There are a lot of places in life where people can go and be entertained, and they do very well with that kind of thing, but that's not the church. God says in this particular passage that when it comes to the church, this is a place where if you become involved with it, if you become associated with it, if you participate in it, one of the things that you should give and get is edification. You should be built up in this body. Imagine being part of an organization where we are made to feel not only welcome, but we're made to feel very welcome. Imagine being part of a group that counts us as not only being a member, but it looks at us as being one of its most important and one of its most valued members. Imagine being part of a group where people not only are willing to spend time with us, but they're eager to spend time with us. Imagine being part of a group where people are concerned about our lives, and not concerned so they can snoop, not concerned so they can gossip, but concerned because they're truly interested in us. Imagine a group which wants to share our hurts, an organization that wants to help bear our burdens, an organization that wants to rejoice with us when the times are good, and to help us through the struggles in life. All these things are of great interest to people. And if there were such an organization, people would say, I'm willing to pay for that if all these benefits would come with my membership. Well, what I've just described is just part of what the New Testament church is. Those who understand Christianity look forward to the times where they can come together because they know what the New Testament church offers. This kind of organization, people would say, well, it's not enough to meet with this group of people once or twice a year. Coming together once a quarter might be good, but that's still too infrequent. A monthly meeting can be great for some things. But when we think about what the church is, it is a place to be built up. A monthly meeting is not enough. Not enough. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, rightly says in some translations, Christians were coming together every first day of the week. Sunday after Sunday, God's people were meeting. Then we have in Acts 2, verse 46, about a statement, God's people were meeting day by day. 7 days a week, Christians were meeting. Why would Christians get together on such a frequent basis? Why would they meet? Not only every week, but there were some groups of Christians, Acts 2, who were coming together day after day. It was not because they were getting a good potluck meal every time. It was another reason. God designed the church to be an organization where people get a boost, a regular boost as they go through life. The church is a place where people can come together of like faith. They can share their doubts, their joys, their tears, their struggles, and their successes. Paul, as he deals with the Corinthian congregation, he says something's wrong. The church is designed to be a place where people are edified, built up, strengthened, made to feel well and good. But he said at Corinth, that's not happening. He says you are using the gift of tongues, you're focusing on this particular gift, and that's not building people up. It's building you up as an individual. But it's not building people up. So you need to focus on other gifts, such as prophecy. These additional gifts, which were available to Christians in the first century, Paul said these other gifts, they're going to encourage, they're going to edify other members. And this is what needs to be done at this place. This is what needs to be done in places today. Notice from this same chapter, if we back up just one verse to verse 3. He says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification, there's our word again, and exhortation and consolation. Help one another. The church is the place where God wants people to strengthen one another and be a blessing to one another. When Christians seek to build up fellow members of the church, Romans 15 verse 20 will be a growing church. Anyone, it takes no effort at all, no skill at all to be a negative influence to drag others down. But as we look at Christianity, God says his people are to be builders instead of destroyers. We need to be concerned about being a builder in the church created by Christ. Let's also look as we think about 1 Corinthians 14 and what we find from verse 17 in this chapter. It's another place where we have the same word. Here Paul says, for thou verily givest thanks well. For verily thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Edification, being built up, is something that was a great concern to Paul. He said it's not being done. So this is one of the problems that you need to fix at this congregation. If we are a Christian, 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that we need to seek ways where we can build up fellow saints. It may be a kind word. It might be a phone call. It might be an email that expresses concern, perhaps because just someone missed a service. Or it might be that we pray. We let someone know that we're praying for them, whether it's a person who needs a job, whether it's a person who's having a bad day at work, a family who's going through some struggles. We need to build one another up. The church is God's spiritual house, and we have a regular responsibility in making sure that it's maintained in a good way. If we have true love, building, as we've described this morning, is going to be one of the things that we do. Backing up a little bit in 1 Corinthians, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and looking at verse 1, I cite this passage a little out of order, but I use this reference because, once again, the word that we're looking at this morning is used here. And not only is this word used here, it's associated with love. Paul said, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love, here's our word, edifies. Paul said, if you have love, you're going to be involved in building one another up. Well, what's that tell us about the people who tear folks down? They may have love, but it's not biblical love. If you have the word charity in your Bible, that's simply an older way of saying love. Love lifts up instead of cast down. Love, true love, encourages instead of discourages. Love upholds instead of lets people faint or fall. Being a builder in Christ's church is an important, it is a needed and necessary responsibility. Leaving the Corinthian letter, we find this word being used in some other places. Another text that is relevant for this morning's lesson comes from the final chapter in the 1 Thessalonian letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. You may have already turned to this particular passage, and this verse is also going to be read well. Here we learn that Christians were building one another up. This was such a good thing, this was such an important thing that Paul not only recognizes it, but he says that this was something that was to continue, it was to be further. The 11th verse of the 5th chapter says, wherefore exhort one another, and here's our word, build each other up, even as ye also do. Think about what it's like to be part of an organization, to be part of a group where people on a regular basis build one another up, strengthening one another, encouraging one another, helping one another. This is what our world wants. Our world is looking for something where people are built up on a regular basis. We live in a time where many people are part of families that are torn apart. People feel like as they are around their family, and maybe some who call themselves their friends, they're just ripped to shreds, torn to ribbons, made to feel awful by others. Our world excels at tearing people down. But God says there is an institution that is designed to build up people. In today's world, the Church of the New Testament, in some respects, almost seems to be a secret organization. A lot of people, especially young people, don't know about it. They don't realize what God has sought to do with and through the church. But this morning, our understanding of the church should be enhanced just a bit. If we are a Christian, we need to be a builder. That's part of God's responsibility, as it's expressed through His Word. We need to do our best to strengthen and promote the church. If we need to be built up, one of the best resources that will ever exist is the New Testament church. This morning, we hope that you're part of that organization. We hope that you're a builder and you receive edification as you go through your daily life. But to be part of that group, we first got to become a Christian. And the Bible tells us about that process. Without faith, we cannot please God, Hebrews 11:6. Without leaving the old life of sin, we're not going to be perfect, but we can turn from the way of the world. The Bible says that's repentance, and Jesus said, without repentance, we cannot be saved. So a person says, well, I want to be a builder, and I believe, and I'm willing to repent. That's great. But we're still not in with the Lord. We need to confess that Christ is the Son of God, and that last step is baptism into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. At that point, we're part of the church. At that point, we are qualified to be a builder in the church. It's at that point that we can truly and best be built up by fellow members of God's family. Are we a builder? Are we a committed builder? And are we allowing ourselves to be built up by the body of Christ? We hope that these things are true for you because you're here this morning. If we can help add you to the building team, if you need to get on the construction team by becoming a Christian this morning, you have an opportunity to do that. And we'd like to encourage you to take the steps that you need to do to become a Christian. If you're someone who needs to be built up and strengthened, there are people here who'd like to do that, who'd like to help you in that way. If there's a way that we can aid you in your spiritual life, will you let us know about that need as we stand and sing the song of encouragement?